Accession number 9364, reel 14.
Mr. Bethel, reel 14. When and why did you leave the Revenge?
Because she paid off after 4 years. After 2 years I've been on the Revenge, 2 years Queen Elizabeth. It's the same ship's company. Incidentally, we won the King's Cup, and we had an amazing good football team on the Revenge, and we won the King's Cup, which was quite something. I went into barracks, and naturally, directly I got there, I was interested in shooting, and I met Joe Borrett. Joe Borrett was an ex-RMA fellow who I had great respect for. A fine shot. Later shot with him quite a bit for the representing the Marines at Dieshny. And we went down the shooting gallery and we won the cup, and I won the silver spoon for the shooting, which was common. I always won, pretty well always. Within the recruits, you know, sphere. Incidentally, I had become much better on the violin, and as I say, I used to play the Death of Ashes and all that kind of thing. On the Revenge, we knocked down our mast on the bridge, on Fourth Bridge, or part of it. It was pretty alarming because we were underneath it. But the top came off where they hadn't lowered us sufficient to go under the bridge. Of course, case is caught.
Was anybody punished for that?
No worries. It went all right. But it did come down.
Did you want to leave the Revenge?
Oh yes, I didn't mind. I wanted to get a barrack shoot. I was a shooting maniac. All I thought was shoot. I could prove I was one of the best in the country and all this jazz. You know, I was like an excited child, like a boy, I suppose.
Where were these barracks?
Big one?
Where were the barracks? Back in Gosport? Eastney.
No longer was it Fortin, because Fortin, in the meantime, we've gone from the amalgamation period, which came to pass in 23. You know, the hatred between the smaller-minded people was terrific. I've seen a bloke hated a Royal Marine artilleryman so much that while he was gone, he threw his hat out the port. And that kind of thing, you think, you say, did I see right? Or am I going round the bend? Was he threw that out the port? But he had done.
Who is this hatred of?
Beg your pardon?
Who was the hatred?
Royal Marine artillery, Royal Marine infantry. But the bigger minded people were lovely. Like Joe Borrett was RMA, he didn't give a tuppence whether I was RMLI or what I was. He was too big for that kind of thing. And Howard. And the great shots of that period. So anyway, I was in barracks for a short while, and in that time I managed to get to the shooting gallery and win a spoon and a medal, and I was the top man. But it wasn't long before they said you were going to the Centaur. And so I went from a great big ship to a cruiser, and everything went right. It was just heaven. Whatever I did was right. I played the violin in the ship band. I played the cornet in the band, in the wind band. The admiral, vice admiral, used to call me his Chrysler. And, you know, I shot for the ship and beat everybody at Amsterdam, and the Dutch Navy shot against us. We changed rifles, their leading man and myself, and so on. I was successful in everything I did. I played cricket there, I bowled four men out one after the other. I did the hat trick there, and I played cricket for the ship's company.
What was shipboard life like on the cruiser?
Oh, I loved it. Everything I did, the Sergeant Major Viney was, he befriended me. He said, "You should be going through for Corbo." He said, "What's up?" I said, "Well, I had a quarrel, you know. They were pretty severe on the... They put your back, antedated your back, you know, with your hopes for promotion, which was hard to get because they didn't want you. They used to say, you don't want you people, you know. You can leave the Corps if you like." You thought, what's going to happen to my wife and kids? And my wife, I didn't have a kids at the time, you know, if I can't get a living.
How long were you signed on for at this time?
12 years, and then you signed on for 9 afterwards, which completed your 21, you see. But, no, everything went right on organs. I was fenced for them. We won the bayonets, and Viney, the sergeant major, was a colour sergeant, which I finished up as. He said, "I'm going to get you antedated." I think he was rather proud, you know, because everything that I took part in was successful. And the Admiral apparently approved of me. I used to play the violin, he could hear it on the mess deck, you know. And he used to think, that's rather nice. We must have thought, he called me Kreisler, because Kreisler was a great violinist at that time. I wasn't technically brilliant. I'd like to have been. But I could get a marvellous tone.
What is antedated?
Beg your pardon?
What does antedated mean?
Well, I forfeited a certain period of my promotion hopes, because, you know, if they didn't like you, they simply wrote you off. And I hadn't been immensely popular. Not rowing for them and that kind of thing, I suppose. Anyway, Viney said to me, "I'm going to get you antedated," and he put his foot forward and got recommend from everybody he wanted and did it. He was the most forceful character. He was a colour sergeant. We visited Antwerp, we visited Holland, the Lowlands, which I not visited with the Revenge. And of course, he was proud of who'd come top, or Bethel did. Had to get on at Baden, so we lost 5 on a row, and then Bethel come on and beat this chap, and that was all right. Violin I played with a ship's orchestra. The trumpet I played with a ship band. And, you know, everything went right. I was top. So forth.
What did it mean to you, though, being antedated?
Well, he wrote in and said, "This somebody's made a mistake with this chap, he's quite clever. And we want his promotion to be antedated to, make it more soon, you know."
So were you promoted?
Oh, yes. No, you had to go through the drill class, you see.
Could you explain what that was?
Yes. But I wasn't to go through. They antedated me and said, that's all right. In the meantime, Viney said, "You know, you're quite bright. You should go through for signals." So I thought about it. He said, "I'm going to send you in for signals." He was a marvellous man. When I think about it, the funeral of the Marines that died at Antwerp, we went up to visit their graves. And he took a wreath up and that kind of thing, and it was marvellous. When you think, he was a colour sergeant, and doing the job of an officer, you know, doing it well. I couldn't speak too highly of him. And he evidently thought well of me. So I went into barracks and started signals. Well, a signalman has got to be intelligent. All the brains go in the signals and wireless on a ship. Electrically, people, generally well thought of, but signals have got to be bright. You can't be a mug to be a signalman. I could read it 28 words a minute in the end, which is just about as fast as you can write. And we went to Eastleigh, Ivy Cottage, where we used to do signals all day. And I'm trying to think of anything I've missed. No.
The drill class, you were going to explain that to me in more
detail.
Yeah,
well then they said you can go in the drill class. The drill class was 6 months, 6 months steady slog. And it was a slog. I used to ride over to, from this house next door where I was living at the time, which was my original home, and by bicycle. If it was a day like today and you got wet, you had all your pooches were all bright. Each day you'd have to clean your equipment, clean your, press your suit. You know, my wife used to say to me, you look like a German officer when you leave this house. That was her description. And over you'd go. Well, Bungy Williams was the major. Very, very severe man. And yet lovely, lovely. When I was going through, he said to me, what is the tribute you want to Florencio? What do you think is the great thing? And I looked at him and I thought, well, you've got to be smart, you've got to be this, you've got to be that. Example, he said, example. And that was the joke at the time, that anybody who wanted to be an example was the carpenter's mate, and you were the example to God. Incidentally, Eastleigh Barracks, when it was visited by the Kaiser, he said it was too clean to be comfortable. The Kaiser, that was First World War.
Whereabouts were these barracks?
Eastleigh, South Sea. Don't you know where Eastleigh is?
No,
that's strange.
I've not heard of it.
Right at the end of South Sea, Eastleigh Barracks. Our museum's there now. Have you ever visited it?
No.
Terrific,
when was it that you were doing this? Was this after you'd been on board the Centaur?
After I'd been on the Centaur. I wasn't on the Centaur too long because he recommended me for everything. And I went to barracks, you see. And
about what year would this have been?
About 27, I would think. And we had this barracks there. We had a chap rescued a girl off the pier. And he took a hell of a job to rescue her there when I was there. A sergeant with a big moustache. He was funny. And he swam in with this girl. He had to drag her in by the hair. And it was rough. She fell off the pier or something. She was in difficulty. And poor old, he was a humorist, as usual. He took off his shoes to go in and swim out to her at the pier. And when he got back, somebody steamed his shoes. And of course, poor old, I forget his joking name, we used to call him, but he walked all the way back to Fort Cumberland, which is on an extension of Eastleigh. And he had your own rifle range and all there. And a gun battery for the guns, for gun drill. Quite an establishment.
When did you receive your promotion?
Oh, not till I got to Malta. But
so you went on board another ship before that?
No, I went to Malta. I went on the drill class. This took 6 months. And that took you into about 1928.
Did you go straight to the drill class from the Centaur?
No, I went through signals. Signals was quite something. You did 9 months training for signals, and you had to go to Chatham for army signals and the naval barracks for naval signals. And instead of drilling you, like saying right turn, left turn, they say use code for it, naval code. You had to put up a little pennant you had in your hand and drill you all around the parade. G18 was speed of the fleet 18 knots. If you wanted you to double up, they'd make it 24, you double G24. Up, down, off you go, run. See, and this kind of thing, and inclines, and compass turns, and blue turns, always in code.
How did you come to go on the signals course?
Viney said to me, go through for signals. He said, you're quite bright, you're silly. You're kicking against the pricks. You know, he said, you're going on, you're all right. So, in I went. And of course, from the moment you become a signalman, you're not a Marine. In other words, you're more intelligent than most. You belong to a fraternity which is, considers themselves a little bit sharp. Because to read Morse, you've got to be reasonably clever. I did a course there, seen it afterwards, which I got a distinguished for. I was quite good. And anyway, the drill class was quite something. That's 6 months training.
Well, could we just stick with the signals for now? Can you tell me what subjects were covered at signals training?
Well, heliograph, fuller phones, which use so little current that they wouldn't be detected by the enemy. D2s, that's battery telephones, laying of telephone wire, telephone mending, telephone joints, you know, to join up or label wires and all that kind of thing. Don Cork Eddy, Cork Vic Inc. That was the constant. To degrees, constant. Horizontal equivalent, and so forth. That was all. We worked out this formula from that. And that's 9 months and 6 months drill class. There's a year and 3 months.
Were you assessed at the end of the signals course?
Oh, yes. You passed or you didn't pass. I was struggling to help. Dad built that shop at the time, and half killed me because I was the main labourer. And when I went down on signals, I was really flogged. And I sat in front, and Major McKenzie had me in front of him, and he said, you know, you're half asleep, Battle, all the time. He said, let me send you back to Eastney. You can come with the next course. And I was scared, and I thought, oh, he won't let me come. And I should lose my dignity. I should only be a Marine again. And he said, I promise you, I'll have you back all right. I said, no, let me go through, sir. And he let me go through, and I passed. I was the only one that had one subject right. I didn't have it right, but I had it near enough right. They knew what I was getting at. And then came back to Eastney again, and I joined the Revenge again to go to Malta. That was my passage out to Malta, where I was going to be on the CNC staff. No shoot.
What, were you now a signal officer then on board the Revenge?
No, I was a signalman, not a signal officer.
Could you explain what a signalman had to do?
Yes, I'm not on the Revenge. I was going to Malta on the CNC staff, Malta. And Malta was one honeycomb of naval people, you know. I was going to Malta for the first time from Eastney, having passed the drill class, waiting to be made corporal, sent to the Castile or to St. Angelo.
What sort of time would this be?
What time?
What year?
About 29. Yes, because we won the Methuen in 1931, and I was, about 29, 28, 29. And we went to San Angelo, which is the fort at the end of Il Borgo, which was, or Victoriosa, Il Borgo originally. And it was a mysterious place. Remember, the Knights of St. John of Jerusalem had resisted the Turks there, about the same time as the Armada, about 1550, thereabouts. And they said that a lot of the knights had been buried in the walls and all that kind of thing. It was really a ghostly place. And the bridge overlooked the harbour. And they had little pockets of sandstone where the Maltese used to watch out for the Turks and that. And they had an eye, an ear on this kind of thing, represent the I see all, I hear all, that kind of thing. You sat in these and waited for them to be attacked. And it's quite ghostly. Malta itself, you've never been there. It's sandstone and it shines white, you know. And it looks as though you could get a shovel and put it underneath and lift it up in the sky. It really don't belong. It's not green fields like we have here and very positive. It's filmy. It's
what was the Revenge doing at Malta?
The Revenge only took me out there about a fortnight. I went aboard about 6 in the morning. We had to jump up and go get aboard to travel out. There were 4 days, 4 or 5 days. And then you went ashore and I went to St. Angelo.
What was St. Angelo then?
Beg your pardon?
What was St. Angelo then?
A fort. Egmont or St. Angelo. Well, we used to call them stone frigates. And you'd climb up this to go up the bridge. When you went into St. Angelo, it said that the pikemen facing down had the advantage of had the pikemen coming up because it's a long fort. Imagine Beau Geste. Not unlike that kind of thing, you know. And, of course, I had money. I had saved money. And I was able to tell my wife, you can come out with me, a young woman like you are now. And so she came out on the Esperance Bay. But again, everything went with a swing. I was in the cricket team. The cricket team had 7 Navy players in it, right above my stage, and I was just an average player. I played for their team, which was terrific. Sport was rife in Malta. You had the horse racing, which was a miniature scale. They had their own horse track, you know. Wouldn't think so. On a small island. Island about a third the size of the Isle of Wight, imagine. One little railway on it, Garozzi's and Daiso's.
How were the Marines received by the local population in Malta?
I loved them. They were brave. They were very, very religious. And Easter Monday, you know, they would pay their penance. They're very Roman Catholic. The Mustard Dome is a dome built by a man without plans. The third largest dome in the world. The catacombs. The Fort St. Elmo. They used to put soldiers in underneath the harbour, walk up through the catacombs and relieve Fort St. Elmo on the Valletta side. Valletta's named after Diva La Valette, who was the French leader of the Crusaders at the period. And
what was the function of the Marines in St. Angelo?
Well, during the late war, they were formed guns crews on the detachment.
This is in 1929?
No, 29, they were just ordinary. Do drills and that kind of thing, like a barracks. And we were on the bridge, the signalmen. We were special. And you simply sit down and you had to give your name up and used to say one message from R.E.M., Royal Admiral, Rear Admiral Malta, to so-and-so and so-and-so. Very often pulmonary tuberculosis, join Maine, 9 a.m, so-and-so and so-and-so, that kind of message. And after you'd got the message, they said you had to give your name. I used to say, Bethel, what'd you say? Bethel, what'd you say? And I think, oh, Smith. Oh, all right, Smith. That kind of thing.
Which bridge was this?
Which what?
The bridge. You mentioned you were on
the
bridge.
Right on this, well, they used to call it the bridge. You walked up this extension to the, which is kind of a lookout post where you could look down on the harbour. You could look down on the harbour, and Castile was the headquarters of the signal branch, the other side, on the Elmo side, like Portsmouth is to Gosport. And all the terrific history of Malta, which is colossal. You visited the catacombs, which you could walk for 7 miles under, and each catacomb would be subterranean by another one. So you're really working in what was walking in what, underneath, what was really a lot of wormholes, or appeared to be. They had their own cemetery under the earth, their own milling place for Blooming Great Stone. They rolled round and round on this circuit, like you would when you're moulding and things for.
How long were you stationed there?
2 years, roughly. And from there, in St. Angelo, my wife, when I brought her, I went aboard Jervis Bay, one of those boats, and picked her up and took her to what was Strada Nova of Il Borgo. Now, Il Borgo was the last place during the Siege of Malta, the original siege, the first siege, the last place that the Turks couldn't get, and afterwards named it Victoriosa, after victory. Fort San Angelo didn't fall to the Turks. The Dragut, Dragut, was killed at Fort San Elmo. That was the La Valette side, the capital of Malta, you might say. You saw steps. Your streets are steps.
How many of you were there stationed at St. Angelo?
About, Marines, about 20, 25. Of course, we were special, we were CMC staff. And the rest were seamen and that kind of thing, you know, kind of a...
And how many on the CNC staff?
I should think 60. That would be signals. When I eventually went to Castile, Castile was a square building, you know, with a hollow inside. And it faced the harbour, as did Angelo. Look down, everything looks down on the harbour. Malta's like your finger stuck out. You've got Valletta, the left little finger, La Valette, singly La Valette, Lavette, Valletta, and various sticking out into the sea, coral island, or sandstone. And Castile was very important. CNC, oh God, Major Marines there, and big shots.